Just a couple of announcements before we get started. Number one, do you have a cell phone on you?
Yes.
Turn it off, please. Otherwise, we turn around and we stare at you if it goes off and make you feel really dumb. Secondly, after service today, we have dinner downstairs. We have turkey and ham and potatoes and gravy and dressing and salad and salad and salad and salad and dessert. And I think we have enough. Gary says, no, we may need to get another 20 pounds of potatoes. So we have plenty of food, so stick around and enjoy it. Also, those of you who are new, we do worship through giving, usually about mid-service, but today we're going to do it right off the bat. So those of you who attend church here, get ready. Now, if you're visiting here, you're here for the first time, we don't expect you to give anything. Enjoy. But those of us who belong to the congregation, after a few minutes, we're going to have Jody go back in my office and get the plates. They're back there. Okay, they're here. I always forget to bring them out. They'll pass the plates. And also, in your packet, you have a visitor card. You've got a pen, so you can fill it out. If you turn it over on the back, there's a place for prayer request. If you have a need that you want prayer for, write it on there. Put it in the offering plate when it comes around. If you have a praise report, God's blessed you in some way, you're glad about it and so on, put it on there because it's a praise report. And then when they bring the plates around, you put them in the plate and everybody has something to give back to God and we can glorify God in that way. We have the program going on today and we'll be taking part in that. And then at the end of service, we celebrate communion. Some of you know it as sacrament. Some of you know it as Eucharist, communion. We all do it together, so I'll explain that when we get to that point. But for right now, let's start with prayer, and we'll get moving. Loving God, we come before you right now this morning. We praise you and we thank you that we are gathered here today to worship you, to celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, as you came into this world to take upon yourself our sins, so that we can be in right relationship with you, so that we can talk to you without fear, we can walk with you without fear, we can just plain enjoy you, because you created us to love us. So we thank you for that. And Lord, we ask you that as we go through this service, that we will do it in accordance with your spirit and your direction, and we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name, amen.
For those of you who would like to stand and join us in this opening song, please do so as you are able. Thank you.
And they'll collect that while you're singing.
Thank you.
Loving God, we thank you for these tithes and offerings that you have provided for us. Lord, we're thankful that we have something to give you because you gave it to us first. So we thank you and praise you for it. We thank you for these prayer requests that have been turned in. Lord God, we give them over to you because you are the King. You are the Lord God Almighty. You are the healer, the Redeemer. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Max Lucado wrote a book called An Angel's Story. In it, he imagines what might have happened before the angel Gabriel visits Mary. God called Gabriel to the throne room and gave him his special assignment. God said, "Your assignment is to carry a gift to earth." Gabriel answered, "I will do anything you ask." Lucifer interrupts the conversation with a question for God. "And what treasure will you send to earth this time?" The first gift had been C-H-O-I-C-E, choice. And Satan laughed because Adam had chosen him instead of God. God reminded him that every act intended for evil, God used for good. Lucifer dared God to show him one person who always does right and obeys God's will. The king walked over and reached for the book. He turned it toward Lucifer and commanded, "Come, deceiver. Read the name of the one who will storm your gates." Satan rose slowly off of his haunches like a wary wolf. He walked a wide circle toward the desk until he stood before the volume, and Satan read the word. "Emmanuel," he muttered to himself, then spoke in a tone of disbelief, "God with us?" For the first time, the hooded head turned squarely toward the face of God. "No, no, not even you would do that. Not even you would go so far." God said, "You've never believed me, Satan." But Emmanuel, the plan is bizarre. You don't know what it's like on earth. You don't know how dark I've made it. It's putrid. It's evil. It's, God proclaimed, "and it is mine. It is mine. And I will reclaim what is mine. I will become flesh. I will feel what my people feel. I will see what my people see." Satan said, "But what of their sin?" God said, "I will bring mercy." Satan said, "What of death?" God said, "I will give life." Satan stood speechless and asked, "Why? Why? Why would you do this?" In a deep, soft voice, the Father said, "Because I love them. That's why I'm sending the most perfect gift."
Thank you. It was a beautiful evening, crystal clear and crisp. Millions of stars were shining. It was a special night. Mary sat gazing out of her window, thinking of her beloved Joseph. They were soon to be married, and she was so excited and a little scared. Suddenly, she felt another presence in the room and turned and looked and saw the angel Gabriel standing there.
Hello, Mary. God is with you. You are favored among women.
This frightened and confused Mary. The things he said, what could this mean? And Gabriel said,
Do not be afraid, Mary, for God loves you. You have found grace and absolute favor with him. Now listen to me. You are going to become pregnant and will give birth to a son. You must name him Emmanuel. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and his kingdom will never end.
This completely baffled Mary.
How? How is this possible? How can I become pregnant? Joseph and I are yet to be married. I have never been intimate with a man.
Gabriel answered her, saying,
The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the Spirit of the Most High will overshadow you as a shining cloud, and your holy baby will be called the Son of God. And listen, your cousin Elizabeth, in her old age, and though many people say it is impossible for her, has also conceived a son in her 6th month. You see, Mary, with God, nothing is impossible.
Mary listened intently. All her life, she had loved God and would do anything he asked. She looked up and quietly said,
I am the Lord's handmaiden. Let this happen, just as you have said it.
After the angel left, Mary sat pondering this in her heart, trying to take in this astonishing news the best she could. The angel had mentioned Elizabeth. Elizabeth was having a baby also. Mary decided to go visit Elizabeth and began preparing for the journey. As she made her way through the hill country to the village where Zacharias and Elizabeth lived, she thought,
When I see Elizabeth, she can help me better understand these wondrous things. I wonder how she is doing and what news she will have.
When she entered Elizabeth's house and greeted her, she heard Elizabeth gasp and then saw her smile.
What is it, Elizabeth?
Upon hearing your greeting, I felt my baby move inside of me as if for leaping for joy. How blessed I am to have the mother of the Son of God visit me. And you, Mary, you are blessed indeed.
Mary could see everything was just as the angel had said. Seeing Elizabeth this way helped her accept the marvelous events that were happening. As she hugged Elizabeth, she asked,
How do you know these things? How is your baby?
My husband Zacharias was in the temple one day when the angel Gabriel came and told him that we would have a son, a special child. We are to call him John. And Mary, when he grows up, he will tell the people to be ready because their Savior, the Messiah, is coming. Well, Zacharias didn't believe it because we're so old, the angel made him speechless. He can't speak a word. He has to write everything on a tablet. That's how I found out what the angel said.
Mary had listened quietly.
My soul praises the Lord and rejoices in him. He has done great things for us.
Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months before returning home to Nazareth. Soon thereafter, Elizabeth's baby was born. Her friends and family thought the baby would be named Zacharias after his father, but Elizabeth said,
No, he is to be called John.
Her relatives didn't understand, for no one in their family was named John. They turned to Zacharias, thinking he would agree with them. After writing on a tablet, he held it up for them to read. They were astonished because the words he wrote said, His name is John. It was then his voice returned and he began praising God. As the news of the story spread throughout Judea, people were awestruck and knew that God must surely be with this special child. Now, when Joseph heard the news of Mary's pregnancy, he was confused and very sad, for he thought his bride-to-be had betrayed him. The only thing he felt he could do was break the engagement. In those days, this was done with a divorce, either publicly or privately. Joseph loved Mary too much to shame or disgrace her, so he decided this would be done secretly. As he was thinking about this, God sent an angel.
Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the baby she is expecting is from the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you must name him Jesus, which means Savior, for he will save his people from sin.
This ended Joseph's doubts and fears, and with the reassurance, he and Mary were married and began looking forward to the birth of their son. One day, Joseph came home with a look of concern. When Mary asked what was troubling him, he told her the Roman ruler Caesar Augustus had decreed that all the people living in the empire needed to be registered.
I imagine this has something to do with taxes. But what concerns me is the trip. We must go to Bethlehem, for that's where my family is from, and that's where we must register. But the journey is over 100 miles, and I'm concerned about you and the baby.
Do not worry. We will be fine. God's with us.
The long trip would not be easy. Joseph and Mary packed everything they thought they would need. Mary even packed soft swaddling clothes for the baby as the time of birth was drawing near. Then, with Mary riding on a donkey, she and Joseph began their trip. The road was long and hard. Joseph did not like this at all, but Mary seemed to be doing fine. As they traveled, they saw many other people making the same journey. The road was crowded with travelers. Because of Mary's condition, they traveled slowly. They realized they would be among the last to arrive in the little town of Bethlehem. How could Bethlehem hold so many people? They began to wonder if they would find a place to stay. All of the inns would be full. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the other travelers had settled in. Joseph led the donkey through the narrow, busy streets looking for an inn that might have room for them. He had never seen Bethlehem so crowded. He must find lodging for Mary. Just then, he saw an inn at the end of the street. Maybe, as this was the last inn, just maybe they would have room. Joseph waited. The innkeeper said,
"We have no more room."
"Please, don't you have any place for us?"
Then the innkeeper saw Mary.
The inn is full, but you could stay in the stable. If you don't mind the animals, at least you would have shelter.
That would be fine, just fine. Thank you.
They were tired from the journey and were grateful to have anywhere to rest. Mary was especially relieved, for she knew the baby would be born very soon. And that is how God's son came to be born in a stable in Bethlehem. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes as Mary made him comfortable in a manger.
From near, they came from far, following a distant star to where he lay. Not being sure of what it meant, but knowing it was heaven sent, they made their way. The creatures gathered round and didn't make a sound. And the angels cried. The angels knew of what was to come, the reason God had sent his son from up above. It filled their hearts with joy to see, but knowing of his destiny, came tears of love. But the creatures gathered round and didn't make a sound, and the angels cried. About that night and wondered if they realized that star so bright was sent to tell all the land the Son of God would soon become the Son of Man. The creatures gathered round and didn't make a sound, and the angels cried, and the angels cried, and the angels cried.
Homeless family, hoping. shining with its might, will lead you through the darkest night. Just another homeless family, hoping for a stranger's charity. Just one night in one safe place to stay, underneath the stars so far away.
On the night Jesus was born, there were shepherds in the field outside Bethlehem watching over their sheep. This job could be dangerous, as sometimes wild animals would stalk and attack the sheep, so the shepherds would stay with their flock even through the night. On this evening, everything was quiet. Most of the men were already sleeping. Suddenly, the sky was filled with light as an angel appeared. The light was so bright, it woke the sleeping shepherds. They were very scared, as they had never seen anything like this. Then they heard the soothing voice of the angel.
Do not be afraid. I bring you and everyone the most joyful news ever announced. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem. You will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
Then, as the shepherds watched in amazement, the night sky blazed as the angel was joined by a multitude of other angels. They were all saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men.
As the light faded and the angels were gone, everything was once again quiet as the shepherds tried to take in what they had heard. Eventually, they said,
Come, let's go now. Let's go see this baby.
Leaving their sheep, they raced along paths leading to Bethlehem. As they reached the town, they realized there were many mangers. How would they find the right one? It seemed as if everyone was sleeping as they wandered through the streets looking for signs that someone was awake. Finally, they spotted a light coming from a stable near an inn.
Could this truly be where the Savior was born?
As they nervously looked inside, they saw just what the angel had said. There, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, was the baby Jesus, with Joseph and Mary watching over him. The shepherds fell to their knees in awe as they quietly began worshiping him. Then they told Joseph and Mary what the angel had said and how many angels had visited them, all praising God. And that morning, the shepherds went through the town spreading this good news to everyone they met. All those that heard were astonished. Mary kept all these events in her heart and would treasure them and think of them often.
Justice at a price we could not pay. The night shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees.
Jesus was born during the reign of King Herod, who was then in his palace in Jerusalem. From the east, there came three wise men who studied the stars. They had arranged for a meeting with the king, and they asked Herod where the king of the Jews had been born. They had seen his star rise in the east and had come to worship him. King Herod did not know how to answer them, for he had no knowledge of the birth of Christ or any of the events that surrounded it. Their questions of a new king troubled him, and so he called a meeting with the Jewish religious leaders and asked them if the prophets had told of the birthplace of Jesus. They answered him, It is written by the prophets that he will be born in Bethlehem. When Herod learned this, he again met with the three wise men and found out from them when it was exactly they had first seen the star. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem, and when you find the child, come back and tell me so that I too may go and worship him." Now when the three wise men started out once again, the star appeared to them shining over Bethlehem, and they were excited and filled with joy. When they arrived where Joseph, Mary, and Jesus were, they at once began worshiping him. Then they opened their presents and gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
To do a very special number here to include the children. We're going to let them do the first couple of verses, and if you would all care to join in with this, I think everybody knows, "Let there be peace on earth." Thank you.
Have you enjoyed it so far?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, they've done a great job on this. Now I get to talk to you for a few minutes. Summing it all up, we've been following the Advent candles. How many of you follow the Advent in your home? Most of you who are here do. And so what it is, it's a series of candles. It started about 200 years ago, and it started with a pastor in an orphanage. And every morning, the kids would come down and they'd say, is it time, Papa? And he'd say, no, one more. This is just another day done. I waited a little longer, and every day they kept asking and asking, and this happened. And so finally, the next year, what he did, he made a 6-foot wreath, and he put candles all over it. And every day, when the kids come down, he would light another candle and tell them part about the birth of Christ and explain to them the different things that took place in their lives. And so that's how it evolved into what we have here. And we have five candles all together. Three of them we have already lit. The first one is the prophecy candle, because in the scriptures there are over 300 prophecies about the coming of Christ, and they've been fulfilled. We have the Bethlehem candle, because that's where Joseph and Mary went when the time was there. We have the shepherd's candle in there, and the angels came to the shepherds, and the shepherds got all excited about what they heard. And scripture says that they went and they told the people around them what the angels had told them and what had taken place. And then today, I'm going to light the angel candle. And as you heard in the reading and the song and that a little bit ago, the angels came to the shepherds and told them, exclaiming the arrival of Jesus Christ on the earth. And they were excited. They were thrilled about it. And they carried on, and they went off, and they told people, and people believed it, and they were awestruck. And the scripture says that Mary took this all in, and she pondered it in her heart, what it might mean. Because the angels understood the things that Mary didn't quite understand yet, and it would take her whole life before she would fully understand it. And they announced that to Mary and the angels, and they were frightened. And what did the angels tell them? Don't be afraid. All the way through scripture, all the time, the angels would always say, people would be telling them, do not be afraid. Fear not. Don't be afraid. And the same message goes out to us. Do not be afraid of God. Do not be afraid because somebody tells you something awful or somebody puts a thought in your mind. Just keep that love of Christ in your heart and have that joy that's in there, in knowing the peace of Christ. In this Christmas season, we also celebrate the three wise men. The three wise men traveled over 1,000 miles to get to the baby Jesus. They saw the star, they packed up their bags, they headed off. It took them 9 months to travel that 1,000 miles. And don't want to burst your bubble, but they didn't ride camels. Sorry. They rode horses, but it's okay. Leave the camels in because they look good, okay? Yeah, it's okay. We want it to look good. So they traveled 1,000 miles and took 9 months of their lives, which brings us to a really important question. How willing are we to go look for Jesus? What would we be willing to do? How much of our lives would we be willing to give to get a relationship with God? But we don't have to travel thousands of miles. We don't have to jump through any hoops or anything. We just have to say, Jesus, you died for my sins, and I thank you for that. Please take my sins and let me be your disciple. And you know what? Those words don't even have to be the exact words, because you have to say it from what comes inside of you and have to feel it in there. And so we do that. But we also celebrate communion, like I mentioned. Sometimes called sacrament, sometimes called the Eucharist. It consists of two elements, bread and grape juice. Now, Jesus served wine, but we serve grape juice so that everybody can participate and take in it and be a part of it. But there was bread. Bread was a big deal in the East. Whenever somebody made a contract or they did something special, They celebrated over a meal. And Jesus did the same thing. A while beforehand, some of his disciples had came and he'd fed 4,000 of them. And they followed him and they found him again. And he said, you know, you're looking for me, not because you believe, but because you got fed and you want more. But don't settle for those things that are man-made. And then he explained to them, he said, if you want to be my disciple, you have to eat my flesh. And you have to drink my blood. Because my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. And most of them responded like we probably would. That's really kind of deep. I don't think you can handle that. And at that point, 5,000 disciples turned away and left. And Jesus led them. And he turned to the 12 and he said, do you want to go too? And they said, to whom else would we turn? You have the answers. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And later on when they celebrated the Passover, he took bread, he blessed it, he gave it to them and said, take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. He took the cup and gave it to them and said, share this. This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. And each time you do this, remember me. And what he was explaining to them is that as you take this element and you take this juice, you eat them. They become a physical part of your body. They go into the cells. And once that happens, it's inseparable. You cannot take the bread and the juice away from your cells because it's in all of you. And that's what Jesus is saying. You need to watch what you hear. If you want to be my disciple, you need to take what I teach you and make it a part of your life. So intimate, so deep in your life that you cannot separate it from who you are because it becomes who you are. Now, in a minute, and maybe less than that, JD and Isabella are going to pass you these elements. Now, we celebrate an open communion, which means you don't have to belong to this church or any church to partake of the elements here. Okay, they go ahead and pass them. Now, as they pass them to you, take a wafer, take a little cup of juice, and hold on to it. Because we take communion all together at the same time. And when we get to that point, there's going to be some words on the screen that you read out loud along with me that are the words that consecrate these elements for as communion. And so just take them and hold them. Now, and then at that time, we will do it. And these elements represent the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And they are sacred. And they are a reminder. And part of the reason Jesus used bread and drink is because he says, you can do this any time. If you go out to eat and you get a dinner roll and you get a drink, you can break off part of that and stop and remember that Jesus gave his body for you. Jesus shed his blood for you. And that's what he tells us to do, is to remember. Just remember it. Because I don't know about you, but my memory gets a little worse as I get older. And so we need something that reminds us what we are doing and why. And that's what Jesus said to do. Do this in remembrance of me. And so a lot of things have happened. Prophecies have been told and fulfilled. There's been a journey to Bethlehem. But also it's important to realize that communion and the birth of Christ go hand in hand. They're like opposite sides of the same coin. You have the birth of Christ, but without the crucifixion, there would be no reason for the birth. Without the birth, there'd be no crucifixion and resurrection. So we need both to take place and for things to happen the way they need to happen. And so it's important that we do that. And it's important that we remember both of them. Yes, this is the Christmas season. This is the season of giving. This is the season of giving. Not caught up as the world does in all the stuff. My sister's here today, and we used to go out Christmas shopping. My two sisters are. And we would go Christmas shopping, and we would spend $1,000 at least on Christmas. Thank God for Visa. You know? And we were doing this one time. And one time, we came there, and Judy and I gave each other exactly the same thing. And we looked at it, and we thought, what are we doing? This doesn't make any sense at all. And so we quit doing that. And we started having dinners together and going out and spending some time with each other. Is it wrong to buy gifts? No. As long as you don't make that the center point of what Christmas is about. Now, how many of you did not get a pen when you came in? Everybody did? No, you didn't. I can see. Okay, there's a pen in the back. Looks like this. If you didn't get one, let me know. We'll give you one. Because we're giving you something, right? We're giving you a pen. But what do you do with the pen? You can write down journals. You can take a piece of paper. You can read the scriptures and you can say, wow, what did I get out of this I just read? And you can write it down. You can have a prayer request answered. You can write it down. You can have a memorable experience. You can write it down. And I'm sure that each one of us can come up with something that God's blessed them with and through. So now we're going to celebrate communion together. And like I said, the words are going to be up here on the screen. And we just read them out loud. And the first part of it is the blessing of communion. And the second part is a contract. Because you say, Jesus, I now eat this bread. And I drink this juice. Remembering. And as you do that, I want you to take some time and just think about what it means to you to take these elements. So, would you join me? Jesus, on the night you were betrayed, you took the bread and Passover with your disciples. At the end of the meal, you took the bread and gave thanks. In giving thanks, it was blessed. You broke it and gave it to them, saying, take, eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus, I now take this bread, remembering that your body was given for me. Likewise, at the end of the meal, you took the cup and gave thanks. In giving thanks, it was blessed. You gave it to them and said, take, drink, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of the sins of the many. And each time you drink it, remember me. Jesus, I now drink this juice, remembering that you poured out your blood for the forgiveness of our sins. A few minutes, somebody will come by and pick up your cups. But we're going to do the Lord's Prayer. And again, this is a very committed prayer. You're asking a lot. You're committing a lot as you recite the Lord's Prayer. Would you join me?
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Now I would like you to take a minute, close your eyes, and ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to get out of this message today? The message of Christmas and Easter are both about a relationship, about the relationship that God wants to have with each one of us through Jesus Christ. Don't ever take it lightly. It's a very great blessing. Now, we learn about that through the Bible. And those of you, if you're here and you don't have a modern translation of the Bible, there's a bookcase right over there filled with Bibles. Help yourself. Help yourself. Would you rise for a closing song?
Would you all please join us as we shout for joy and sing joy to the world?
Joy to the world.
Will you please join me in closing prayer? Oh, Father, we come boldly before your throne room and we thank you. We thank you, Father God, that we all are gathered together. We thank you that we can enjoy and rejoice in you. We thank you for the gifts that you have given us through mercy and grace, through forgiveness, love, kindness, and joy. We thank you, Father God, that those gifts that you have given to us, that we get to take and share with one another. We thank you, Father God, as we close this Christmas program. We pray, Father God, that as the angels sing with us, Lord, that we just all had a good time. We all had a wonderful time just singing, being with you, hearing the story, reminding of your love, reminding of the love that you have for us through your Son. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the relationships we have with one another, and we thank you that we get to celebrate. We get to celebrate you. We say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Food is getting ready downstairs. So when you go down, the plates are in place. So find you a plate, a place to sit, and then come back to it when you're done.